Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our minds be acceptable in thy sight through Christ our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is my joy to be sharing this Mariner service here at Glenmay this evening. I seem to remember in past years, I was actually planned of the morning, David, when the Mariners was of the evening. Another time, I was planned at Peel in the evening, when it was the Mariners at Glenmay. So I'm very pleased to be here this evening, to be actually taking the Mariners service. One of the themes of this evening's service has been the theme of the anchor. And when I was asking one of the well-known mariners, members of the Mariners Choir, what perhaps should be the theme for this evening, he said, "How can you tell them about the anchor?" I hope that doesn't give away. As that ship approached the island of Malta, they indeed weighed the anchor. They weighed the anchor. And perhaps it is not a bad theme tonight to think of the anchor of faith, the rock upon which we build, that which is of the essence of life. I wonder, in this modern technological age in which we live, just how much we are willing to trust God. We talk about faith, we talk about belief, but when it comes to the crunch, just how much are we willing to trust God? It's fine when all runs smooth, when all goes well. But how much is that faith an anchor? Even hardened sailors panicked when there were problems on the Sea of Life. Particularly when that ship was in difficulties off Malta. But it was so in the ministry of Jesus. It was the experienced sailors on the Sea of Galilee who had all sorts of problems until Jesus calmed the sea. And that is equally true sometimes of Christian folk. It's great to be fair with the Christians. But what happens when problems come, when disaster strikes? What of our faith then? In my ministry, I have known some who have abandoned ship. I have known some who have really struggled as a tempest has roared. But I have also known some from whom I have received so much, in that I have found in the experience of faith something new, something deeper, something more meaningful, as God has spoken through them. We live today in an age of proof and efficiency. In some ways, perhaps, we also live in a world of false values. It's good to keep everything shipshape. It's another matter when we suddenly find ourselves having built all around materialism and discovering that it's no use. People who came to Jesus made that discovery. People who had everything. Centurion soldier who had power. Men who were his to command. But when it came to sickness and need, he was there kneeling at the feet of Jesus. In humility. In humility. But Jesus spoke of his faith and found a new depth, a new power in that man. Daughter of Jairus, a man who had so much wealth, and yet a man who was in need of help. Countless stories that we could not only tell from Old Testament and New Testament days, stories we could tell through the course of history, where people have become aware of a new presence in life, of a new sense of priorities, a new sense of values. Mr. David, Captain David Cowell, saying a little earlier in the service he wasn't name dropping, but the fact still remains, it's like being back at Colby again, isn't it? We have something of an Onken team. But this week, you will recall, there was a fire in Onken. And the next day, I visited that family in hospital. And I was there with the wife of one of the MHKs. And we were talking about where they would be rehoused and what they would have. That father said, "That doesn't worry me at the moment." It had importance. He said, "I have the most treasured things here in my family." They were saved. And here was his wealth. Here he suddenly discovered something very precious and meaningful. And somehow within that hospital ward there was something of God there. They weren't particularly Christian folk. They were people who I'd met the road of life in Onken. I buried his mother, met them in the village. But the man suddenly discovered through that tragedy, because he knew how dangerous that fire had been and how close they were to death only hours before, he knew his thanksgiving in that place. And suddenly life had new value, new priorities. The gospel has something to say to us about life's values. It has something to say to us about our priorities in life. When we served in Zimbabwe, we met many people there. Not only from the British Isles, we met people from around the world who'd gone to settle in that beautiful country, that land of sunshine. Some of the people we met there were Dutch. They too had stories to tell. And the wife of our church steward, who was Dutch, told time and again of one vivid memory that was in her mind. A memory as when she was a little girl and the Germans had occupation of Amsterdam. She told how they had virtually nothing. They had to creep out at night to somehow get to the farmers to try to get food. And one of the greatest difficulties in the winter months was to keep themselves warm. They had to struggle to get any timber they could. One of her most precious gifts as a little girl was a pair of wooden stilts that had been given to her. She played with those, she treasured those, she had them in the bedroom. And one day came when she noticed that even the stilts had gone. And the realization came to her as a child. She had lost her most treasured possession because they had had to go onto the fire. Her parents had had no option. And it was a sharp reminder to us just how lucky we were to be living in freedom. Just how fortunate we were to have all the things that we had. But Deanie, that girl, could speak in later years of the things that were very precious to her. Although as a child she lost those things, she held on so firmly to her family, to her parents. That was her life. And they arrived in what was then Rhodesia, and they couldn't speak a word of English, and they made new friends. But one day she had what we would term a sudden conversion, and she found Jesus Christ. We've met her on the shores of the United Kingdom since, as she has visited our home on her way back from a conference in Hawaii. She in later years found a new depth, a new reality, a new meaning, a new value. She found the power of the cross of Christ. From one anchor to another, being led into the sea of life to hold her firm, her family on earth, her family in Christ, her family in her Heavenly Father. So we need to ask the question, do we have to go through the storms that Paul and the others went through? Do we have to go through the trials that young family in Onken, or the trials of that Dutch girl went through? Do we have to have our faith tested in order that we might find the depth of it? Some would argue yes. Some would say that this is how you find proof of a living God. Many people within the church today would say, but you don't have to ask questions. You have to just accept. So many times we have to wrestle with life, with all its problems, with all its heartaches. And even out of the impossible, the presence and the power of God is found. Sometimes I feel within the church that if we are not careful, we live too much within a closed environment. When we sailed for South Africa, we found of the sailors that as we were approaching the Canary Islands, was Palmas. It wasn't so much us, we got the feeling of the crew, particularly those who were serving us in the restaurants and so forth, that they were ready for getting to shore. They'd done the journey many times before, and no doubt they found the confines of the ship, and they wanted to have the freedom of the port. No doubt that was true at Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, Durban. As we make that journey on the sea of life, if we are not careful, we can find ourselves being confined almost entirely to our church environment. We need to be aware of the needs of our world today. Our faith does need testing. Our faith has to be tried out in that world. Because it's not that we're taking God to people, it's that God is there. He is active and alive in situations as they exist. We go to meet him there. Perhaps we have a secret fear that our faith will not hold. Perhaps in this age of rationalization and doubt, deep down, we wonder if we can stand the test of the latter part of the 20th century. The churches are presenting a challenge to us. the challenge of a decade of evangelism as we move towards the year 2000. And the churches collectively are asking the question, where will we be in 10 years' time? We are all evangelists. We all have something to share. It's not only that we share the warmth and the fellowship of the Mariners' service this evening. It's what we share tomorrow at our work, in our school, in the field. It's what we share with the people on the streets where we live. And that faith will be tested. And there will be a strain on that anchor. But the message on this Passion Sunday is that there is a God who not only loves us and cares for us so much that he gave his only son, but there's a God who's with us. He's within our existence, within our fellowship, but he's within his word. And he's the Lord of that life. And he's performing miracles today. And things are happening. The proof of faith is a matter of experience. Your experience, my experience within the world. Yes, there are times when we need to stop. We need to lower the anchor. Not only when the sea is calm, let's lower it when the sea is rough. In the storms of life, do we really have that anchor of faith? What does your faith mean to you? Just how real, just how important is that God of love in our material, rationalistic, technological age? I would suggest that he's the most important thing. I would suggest that the needs of our world today are crying out for ordinary people, ordinary evangelists, simply to share good news, not always in what they say, but in what they are and in what they do, that people may find the presence of a living God who cares, who loves, who brings a new sense of values to the needy world of the 20th century. Yes, I suppose the question is, as we've just been asking, will your anchor hold in the storms of life?
Reverend Isherwood, very much for his message to us this evening. And now as we approach then the close of this, our Mariners service, maybe it is appropriate if on behalf of the Mariners and the congregation, I voice our regret that this may be the last Mariners service that His Excellency and Lady New may attend in their official capacity. We thank them for their services to our island. We wish them well in their sojourn away and trust that when they return to us as citizens of Lonnon, they know that their welcome is assured in Ellanvannan, and may God be with them. Our last hymn was written by Anne Ross Cousins, inspired by the last recorded words of the so-called Scottish saint Samuel Rutherford. When he was dying, he was asked, "What do you now think of Christ?" To which he replied, "I shall live and adore him. Glory shineth in Emmanuel's land." Hymn number 36, omitting verse 2, "The sands of time are sinking." Omitting verse 2. Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, go with us this night, and be with us forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for one verse of the Manx National Anthem.
Refuge by coming to And my life work is ended, and I cross the swelling tide. When the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side. And his smile will be the first to welcome me.
But I long to meet my Savior.